The way we consume and share news today, it is largely rooted in social media. L is the reason why it's crucial to look at what's being discussed online. For the hottest trends and our social media minute, we're joined by Jerrica in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
I am willing to say that this is probably the biggest send-off any furry creature will get.
Ever.
From the South Korean public.
Yeah.
The crowds at Everland were so massive. Did I see that sign said, wait 300 minutes to see your furry panda bear?
Yeah.
That's right. Fubao's send-off. That's where we began.
That's right. I mean, Fubao isn't leaving Korea yet, but she still has about a month to go before she leaves for China. But yesterday was her final day.
Public appearance?
At work. You know, this is our job. Just, you know, it's half joking, obviously. So hundreds of people, fans, flocked to Everland to see Fubao for the final time on Sunday. She appeared at, well, her usual spot at Panda World in Everland at around 9:30 a.m. You know, there were cameras everywhere, the press, not just Koreans, but from overseas as well, journalists just trying to cover the story. And a bunch of adoring fans, you know, calling her name. She took her usual spot beside a pile of bamboo sticks, ate as usual. She seemed blissfully unaware of the fact that this was her last day meeting with her fans. Now, zookeepers told reporters that March 3rd is the very last, very day, actually, that Robao and Aibao, Fubao's parents, landed in Korea back in 2016. So the date itself is significant, March 3rd.
Okay.
And yesterday was also day 1,322 since Fubao was born.
And every day counted.
Yes. Yeah, so these zookeepers, obviously, you know, they've been raising her like their own, you know, since she was born. So they were super emotional as well. Mm-hmm. You know, they shared their sentiments with the reporter, saying that they will never forget Fubao, who was their first panda baby. You know, crowds... This is really incredible. Crowds of people waited as early as 3 a.m. in the morning to line up to see the panda on her last day in public. People were seen sprinting to the gate of Panda World. You know, they wanted to be there in time for the opening. Now, starting today, Fubao is going to be moved to a designated location within Panda World for, you know, a bunch of stuff like physical checkups before she is airlifted to China.
Yeah, checkups, getting her used to a send-off, the new environment.
That's right.
Making this transition as smooth as possible.
I mean, I was thinking it's a good thing that China is not that far from Korea, because if she had to travel, I don't know, say Africa.
Oh, yeah.
That would be a really long flight and really stressful for the animal.
That might be a bigger headache, right?
Yeah.
Now, in case you didn't get the memo, under the agreement with China, all giant pandas, even those born outside China, must be returned to China when they reach childbearing age, which is apparently age 4.
Yeah, age 4.
Okay.
That's right. So Fubao is going to be flying to China on April 3rd. Mr. Kang Choron, you know.
Is this Fubao's, Haibuji?
Yeah. Granddad. Will be accompanying Fubao on her flight. So Everland has been consulting with Chinese panda experts to make sure that she can travel in a healthy and safe manner. You know, Everland is going to start screening apparently a special video of Fubao twice a day at the amusement park's indoor theater starting today. Now, this 25-minute long special video is going to tell the story of Fubao from her point of view, her POV.
How are they? Okay.
Including what she would want to tell the zookeepers and her fans.
Okay, that can go wonderfully well or wonderfully weird, but all right. Told from the point of view of the panda bear. Okay.
That's right. And also, Everland is currently reviewing whether to hold a really final farewell event to see Fubao off with fans on April 3rd when she... you know, finally departs for China. You know, it was really sad because, you know, at the end of the day yesterday, Fubao had gone back to her enclosures. Mm-hmm. And the public, they still, you know, stayed around because they were sad, right?
They were sad because they're
and these two zookeepers, whom we're now very familiar with through these YouTube videos that have been shared, they actually cried. They were sending the crowd away. They're saying, you know, we still have a month left, but you know, let's save the tears for that final day. And they just couldn't stop the tears from, you know, the tears they came.
Not to just like burst the emotional bubble, but I mean, panda diplomacy.
Yeah,
it works to a certain extent, right?
And I've never, it's so sad, I've never seen Fu Bao. I've never met her.
Me neither.
You haven't either?
I think the crowd deterred me, because the only time we can really go is a weekend, and I imagine the crowds are even more intense.
Exactly, and it still made me really sad reading the news.
Yeah, it did, and I think it's more the zookeeper's relationship with the panda bear, because they raised her, and
that was really special.
That's something really and special. Yep. Okay, wait and see if a Fu Bao send-off encore does in fact take place.
Right.
On to our second story today. One conglomerate's elevated cafeteria experience has garnered attention. What's different?
A lot of things, actually. And a lot of people are, you know, taking notice. And that's why we're talking about it this morning. So the cafeteria of GS Group is located in the basement of GS Tower, right around Seoul's Yeoksam Station. The cafeteria is actually anything but your average company lunch spot. Here, employees from seven affiliates, including GS Caltex, get to pick from three different lunch options every single day.
Okay.
The interior, it's nice. You know, it doesn't look like your typical cafeteria. It looks more like a, you know, a comfortable hotel buffet than your typical company
fancy
cafeteria. You know, and it's really spacious. It's spacious enough to accommodate over 3,300 employees. Tables are spaced, you know, far from each other.
Okay.
Enough so that you're not sort of eavesdropping on the next table's conversation. So it's a really comfortable, you know, space.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned the lighting. Lighting is everything.
Yeah, they have this really soft lighting. The tables, they're modern, but also they have these warm wood tones as well. Mm-hmm. So people feel welcome when they walk in.
Adi
not cold.
Radio, please take note, because this lighting isn't doing anything for me. Because, I mean, even when we work out, even when we eat, it helps you concentrate better if it's
100%.
Not direct, whatever this is.
Yep.
All right, in order for cafeteria to be successful, it cannot just be about ambiance and great lighting, but it's probably the food too.
Yes, the taste really matters. So GS Tower is located in a prime location. It's close to Gangnam Station. Mm-hmm. There are plenty of popular eateries close by. Mm-hmm. But the employees, they say that their favorite spot to eat lunch is easily the company's cafeteria. Mm. Now, according to GS Group, between 1,900 to 2,000 people dine here every day, and this is close to 60% of employees using the cafeteria on a daily basis.
Hey, a lot of people turn up to utilize a cafeteria.
Yep.
They're doing something right. Has a cafeteria always been this popular among its
employees? No, actually, it hasn't always been this popular. There was a major remodeling project back in 2020, which transformed it into what it is today. Hmm. And the number of daily visitors has, in fact, doubled since then. The name of the cafeteria is great. GREET, which can mean great, like great in English, or 그래 먹자, 그래 eat.
That's 그래 so clever.
Yeah. Isn't it? Which means let's eat.
I've got to say that it takes a lot of effort to make that work.
Yep.
Okay, now who runs these cafeterias?
You know, the menu's upscale offerings, they're largely credited to Kim Min-ji. If that name sounds familiar, she is sort of regarded as a star dietitian here in Korea. She was the subject of a whole bunch of viral social media posts. Yeah. She served lobster meals on a budget as a school nutritionist in Paju, but she joined GS Group. You know, she continues to be dedicated to serving delicious and nutritious meals.
I feel like I need to highlight that just one more time. Lobster meals on a budget
in a school cafeteria, right?
It's unheard of.
Exactly. Now, since joining GS Group, she hasn't shied away from, you know, searching for the freshest ingredients. And her efforts have really paid off. It's led to some of great special dishes, including an annual Christmas lobster meal, collaborations with one of the city's most famous famous bagel shops. Ooh. And on days that feature these famous bagels, apparently the queue stretches all the way down to the parking space.
Are bagels still hot?
Yes.
It had like a really big moment, and apparently it's still hot.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. How much do these cafeteria meals cost? That's great.
They're very affordable. Okay. Regular meals are priced in the 6,000 won range. Mm. What, that's around $5?
Yeah, that's pretty cheap.
And special dishes peak at around 13,000 won.
Which is still affordable compared to what lunch costs around this neighborhood.
Exactly. And most expenses are covered by the employees' meal allowances as well. Now, so the high quality menu has attracted visits from government agencies, local governments, educational offices, and other major companies. Mm. They're looking to learn from, this cafeteria's success.
Mm. So, I mean, hiring that star nutritionist, that was a good start, taking these meal quality to whole new levels. Remember when, the Silicon Tech Valley brought in gelato carts and they had excellent cafeterias?
Right.
I wonder if that's stuck, because it's been years since we talked about it.
Okay. Yeah.
Does the gelato get old after a while?
No.
Okay. All right. The rest is spoken for. On to our final story today. Yeah. Cherry blossom schedule. I guess we say this almost every year. It comes a little bit earlier each year.
You know what? I was actually thinking, did we talk about this last year as well? The blossoms are going to come earlier. I don't know. It just feels like a deja vu almost.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this year, cherry blossoms are expected to bloom up to 6 days earlier than usual. Cherry blossoms on Jeju-do Island are expected to bloom around March 21st, so less than 3 weeks away now, while in Seoul, it's likely going to happen around April 2nd. Mm. Now, experts say that March temperatures, which of course, influence flowering, are expected to be generally higher than usual. And although there might be some chilly days in the month of March, overall, higher than average temperatures are expected. Mm. Now, in other parts of South Korea, you can expect to see cherry blossoms in Busan, for example, on March 25th, Daegu on the 26th, Gwangju on the 27th, and Gangneung on the East Coast on March 31st. So some of the more notable cherry blossom spots in South Korea include the Yeojacheon stream in Jinhae, Sanggyesa Temple in Hadong, and of course, right here in Seoul, Yunjungno in Yeouido. I think the peak bloom is going to be around April 5th to the 10th.
Yeah.
Expect lots of crowds. Yeah, lots of people. It's an annual thing, isn't it?
Yes.
Lots of traffic, lots of people.
Yeah. I actually go to the National Cemetery because it's closer to my house and there's usually less people.
Yeah.
But every year we get more people. So we'll wait and see.
You know, you don't have to go to these hotspots to see cherry blossoms. I mean, they're pretty much everywhere.
Yeah.
There's this one apartment complex in Jamsil where I used to live close by a long time ago. But, they have this fabulous avenue with a bunch of cherry blossoms. So I like to go there in the springtime.
Right in front of my house near the Pampo area, I see throngs of journalists with their big cameras because there's like the perfect photo spot.
Yeah.
It drives me crazy each year.
Seokchunhosu is another popular location, but Seokchunhosu is really pretty because it's a lake basically. And you can see like the cherry the blossoms when they like when there's the wind
and they
it's almost like a snowfall. And if they float on top of the surface of the water, it's really pretty.
Just a thought. Mm-hmm. Who cleans up the lake?
I don't know. Just asking the wrong person.
I know. Anyway, cherry blossom season is
lots of photo ops around the
quickly approaching.
Yeah, the city.
Thanks, Erica.
Pleasure.
See you tomorrow.
If you're listening to our program using the podcast service, just a reminder that we do go live Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Korea Standard Time. So tune in and help us make the show more informative by giving us your input. See you bright and early on Good Morning Seoul.